Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen.
And Jordana is unfortunately out sick today. We are really upset about that, but we are here holding down the fort. We're going to talk about all things pop culture.
You didn't watch Black Mirror, right?
No, I didn't watch Black Mirror.
Because I was texting her about Black Mirror because she told me she really liked one episode, and then I watched it and I was like, it was the most fucked up episode. And I'm like, how did you like this?
Which one?
Like the Aaron Paul episode.
Can you give me like a little brief synopsis, just also the audience, because they're listening?
I don't want to give it up.
Just a premise. Just what's the premise?
It's about two guys, but it's like set in the 60s, but like in an alternate sort of history where they had like these, I guess, robotic people where these guys were astronauts, right? So they were... Josh Hartnett making a huge comeback.
Really?
Amazing comeback. And Aaron Paul are like astronaut partners. They're in space, but they have these, but back at home, they have these like sort of robotic, lifelike replicas of them at home with their families sort of taking their place. And because they're in space for so long, they can, the real Josh Hartnett and Aaron Paul can like plug in their little key tags in space and then sort of come back to their robot bodies, like their souls can come back to their robot bodies.
You know, I don't like robots.
It wasn't robots. It was almost just like they were playing themselves in both space and Earth. And but you see them come in and out of like who is where, and then there was like some. It was like a little bit more horror. But anyway,
oh, I don't like horror. But honestly, the marketing of it is just so fucked up is definitely working on me.
It's just so
like,
fucked
well,
up.
What is it? Okay, I just need to know, like, in what vein is it fucked up? I'll Google it and see if
fucked
that's
up.
Something I want to watch.
it's in the fucked up
types.
Vein. Give me the categories of fucked up.
Bloody, like bloody and gross.
Okay, what's another category?
Like just morally repugnant. Like just who the fuck would ever? Like that's just so disgusting. Like. Out okay, of the norm.
Give me another.
Really surprising. Like things that you would never expect to happen are just that are terrible. Happen.
Okay.
Tragic.
Okay, so it's 3 out of 4.
It's 3 out of 4. Okay. And then, well, I was thinking the last one's tragic, where it's like emotionally.
Yeah, tragic. Yes.
Devastating.
Yes, tragic is 4.
Okay. So it's 4 out of 4.
So it wasn't like. It wasn't surprising, like you weren't like, oh my God, how it was shocking because of how fucked up it was.
Okay. So 3 is because of 4. All right.
Yeah.
When I say like morally repugnant, I say like Raquel fucking Sandoval, that type of thing where you're like, oh, it's so fucked up. Where, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're like, how could a person?
3 out of 4. 3 out of 4.
Okay. Well, okay. You're making it sound good, even though. All right. Well,
but
we'll
so
see.
If Jordana weren't sick today, I'd want to go in on
well,
it,
did,
but we could do it another day.
Maybe I'll watch it by then.
Yeah, watch it. Anyway, but there's another really good episode. Joan is awful. I think you would like that too. That wasn't like fucked up. It was more just like interesting and intriguing.
I like that.
It's Annie Murphy is in it. There's like some really good cameos in this one. Salma Hayek's in it. It's really good.
I'll watch that one. That sounds like lovely.
The rest are, in my opinion, just not as exciting. I found those two to be the most, because I guess it had like the most star characters, or actors, excuse me. But I'm trying to remember the other ones, but there was one that was like really dumb. had nothing to do with like technology. Anyway.
That's okay.
No, but it's about technology. It's like Black Mirror.
Yeah, but it's also sort of like just like fucked up human stuff.
I suppose. It was for anybody who did see it and want to know which one I'm talking about. It was the paparazzi one. So.
Oh, okay. Paparazzi sounds good.
Yeah.
That's definitely like tech because it goes digital, it goes viral. What else are they taking it for? Not for the newspaper.
It was set in like the night, like it was set not now. It was set sort of like in the 2000s.
That sounds even more exciting. You're really doing a great job advertising. It's a shame that they're not sponsoring this segment.
Yeah, right.
you've gotten me. What am I gonna do tonight? I'm gonna watch Black Mirror.
Yeah, you should start with Jonah's Awful though. That one is
Jonah's
like,
Awful.
Yeah. Okay. The first one.
Cool, cool.
And then go to Aaron Paul.
Okay.
When you're ready to be 3 out of 4.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about other things. Okay. Sammy, what's going on?
In my life, a lot. We're having the Betches party tomorrow. Very excited. Are you excited?
Betches, yeah, summer day out at, yeah, Sammy, where's the venue?
At Casa Sammy. Casa Sammy.
Yes, Sammy is hosting.
Camp Sammy. I'm hosting Camp Sammy. I actually did a dry run this weekend with my friends and their two daughters who are two. And the facilities have been tested.
Okay.
There's plenty of entertainment. I just ordered a slip and slide at the request of some of the Betches team while I was in a meeting with them before this. And I was like, don't worry, I got you. Amazon overnight. It'll be there tomorrow. I've never done a slip and slide. So
oh, that's awesome. Also, Camp Sammy, not to be confused with Camp WeWork.
Oh, no, this is not.
What was that
like,
called?
No one's paying to come here.
Yeah, no, this is just like a day. Well, we're paying to make it. But what
so was what, WeWork.
What was that called, the WeWork one?
I think it was like Camp WeWork Camp. We Camp?
No, it wasn't called We Camp.
It should have been.
It was like festively a campy.
What I mean, the name is irrelevant to the substance, but this is going to be a day of games and lots of surprises. There are so many items that have been delivered to my house and only more to come.
Exciting for our team. Sorry, audience.
And me. Yes. I love to host a party. You know, there's nothing that gives me a greater thrill.
I'm so glad. So you'll see that also on our Insta. Technically, when this we're recording on, because of tomorrow, usually record on Thursdays, but we're recording on Wednesday. And therefore, you will see this on Instagram today when you hear this show.
Indeed. Aileen, aren't you covering it on the Betches Instagram?
Exactly. I'm not partaking in the games because
no games. In just my sports.
I'll be like in my third trimester. So I'll just be sort of sitting in most most cases, but you know, fanning off. Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. What is going on in the celebrity news world?
Okay, one thing that I don't care about at all is that Ryan Seacrest is going to become the new host of the Wheel of Fortune. I just wanted to mention that because I thought it was so ridiculous that I got so many news notifications for this because, like, who cares? Tell me when Raquel signs her contract or doesn't. Give me a notification for that, New York Times. Who's watching Wheel of Fortune? Audience, raise your hand.
It's on. Like, it's been on. It's 41 seasons.
That's awesome. Audience, is anyone watching Wheel of Fortune? And if you are, no hate.
No hate.
It's not about hate. It's just like, why is it so overreported? You know what I mean?
I used to always catch the last 5 minutes because it was always on right before.
That's the best part.
Right. It was always on right before
Jeopardy.
Either Jeopardy or like the next show
when people had cable.
Right. And I just remember. But it is funny that who cares? But in terms of just like legacy TV, maybe people feel like it's a big deal. I guess it's funny because like Ryan does so many things. At this point, I can't really. I forgot about Ryan Seacrest because I'm so focused on Andy Cohen. But
that's my other question. It's like, why can we give this host job to someone else?
No, I think it's a good one for Ryan. Why?
Because there are probably other amazing hosts in the world and we could try out a new person.
But they needed somebody who was really established as a host because this is like a big show, you know? People come to see Matt Sajak.
Do they?
Well, no. I think also Vanna White was like, what am I supposed to do without Pat?
Okay. Well.
Yeah, she was like, what am I supposed to do without Pat?
So is Ryan Seacrest.
And so Ryan but he says, I can't wait to continue the tradition of spinning the wheel and working alongside the great Vanna White.
Okay, and so could somebody else say that if they were chosen as the host?
It's just so funny to me that Vanna White is just like has been standing there. She doesn't even press the buttons.
And she has so much name recognition. Like she is a household name.
She is like legit. She doesn't just stands there. She looks gorge. She has such a cool name.
It's also 90s. She
has the secrets of the board, you know? She like knows. She knows where to go to like wave her hand.
Yes.
It's a good game, I would say.
Meghan Markle could have taken that job. You know, she did have the Deal or No Deal experience. So if Vanna really can't get by without Pat, Meghan, I hear, she's free.
She's free. Yeah, she's free.
She's a lot of spare time.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's the news that is not that exciting. But 40 years is a long time to be a host of a show. I mean, like, let's give it to Pat.
I give that to Pat. That's awesome.
It's a staple American show.
In nursing homes.
I mean, like, it's fun to watch.
Okay. Do you come home at 6:30 or whatever? Is that time? I don't know. And put it on? Have you ever thought, what about Wheel of Fortune? Maybe that's what I'll watch.
The only live show I watch is
Watch What Happens Live.
Vanderpump.
Only this year.
And Watch What Happens Live. No, like I also or Beverly Hills when it was like Erica Jean and it was crazy.
HBO,
definitely tuning in live.
I mean, appointment television is a fluctuating phenomenon. What is part of your appointment television is it's an important designation to be appointment television, no?
I suppose. Yeah, it's got to be. You got to be really, like, you really need to command the world's attention.
Yeah, agree.
For us to, like, sit on our couches all at the same time. But I love that feeling.
Me too.
Love it.
Me
so
too.
Fun.
It's like you're united.
Yeah,
with
I love
all the
it.
Other people who love HBO.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. Speaking of HBO, can we please discuss the latest news in The Idol, our least favorite show? So they announced, HBO has announced, The Idol is cutting their season short from 6 episodes, which were previously announced, to 5 episodes, meaning that the next episode that's coming out on this Sunday is the finale. I've never heard of a show of five episodes unless it was like a mini series and it was like with Kate Winslet or something. you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So it's
Mildred Pierce.
Sam Adams. John Adams.
Sam Adams.
It's interesting that they haven't, that they've cut the season, but they haven't announced that they're not doing a next season. And when there were rumors that they weren't going to have a next season, they actually said that, no, we didn't say that. So they're expressly saying there's not a second season, but they're cutting it. I have a feeling that maybe they think that if there can be the, okay, here's what I've watched it now since our last conversation. I watched it like
pretty, and you're up to
soon
date.
After and up to date. Yeah. I watched episode 4, which is what we're at right now. And I think it's gotten a lot better since, I mean, first of all, my expectations were on the floor. So yeah. We only had to exceed that.
They were the lower level.
They were in the lower level. Absolutely. By the way, I saw Ramona Singer on the street yesterday. You're the first person I told. I completely forgot to tell anybody.
Oh my God. Where? What? What was
just
she doing?
Walking on Third Avenue. Walking. Like, that was it.
What was, she was there, like, anything notable?
Doing her Ramona waddle.
Yeah. Yeah.
With like a bag on her shoulder. You know, not on her shoulder, on her elbow, like in her, the crook of her arm, you know.
Right, that's where she holds it.
Yeah.
She's back from St. Bart's or wherever they went.
Must have been. Yeah, because what's their names were in our office yesterday, Sonia and Luann.
Oh yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, they went to Roni Row.
In our
Sonia
office.
Sonia stood in Sonia's townhouse, which is one of the names of our phone booths in our office.
And Luann stood in the lower level phone booth.
Reluctantly.
I love it.
Sidetrack. Okay, so my expectations for the idol were really, really low. And honestly, like the last episode 4, I thought was good.
Like, what about it?
I liked that there was sort of a subversion of expectations about the characters.
Right, for 1 second of the whole episode. Like, you're talking about how, like,
spoilers.
Spoiler. You're talking about how, like, the character Troy, who plays
Xander,
yeah, says that actually she's the manipulator and she's manipulating you, right?
Yes.
That part.
And then combined with other elements, which were her calling her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, but that sex scene was so fucking, like, so unnecessary.
Look, I have already baked in the bullshit sex scenes, the obsession with Lily Rose Depp's nipples.
Yeah, like
I
the
really
nipples.
Don't. I kind of just like go on my phone during like that shit. When he was like, fingering her in front of everyone while she was recording. Ugh. I wasn't looking.
So
like,
cringy.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel I don't want, because, okay, this is now what I've concluded about this show. The show was originally supposed to be directed by a woman named Amy Simetz, and it was supposed to be this dark comedy. And I think that what actually happened is what people say allege happened, which is that Sam Levinson took over and he turned it into this kind of porn fantasy with really bad writing and sort of like no clear plot. And the actors are clearly doing the best they can. So I felt that last week's episode was better because you do see glimmers of what the original show was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I
get that.
I'm enjoying that. But
glimmers.
The glimmers. Like when it's kind of when there are funny lines, when that guy Mike Dean came, that was like all very kind of stupid and funny. And like if there wasn't such a waste of time on like the gratuitous sex that doesn't actually serve a purpose for developing the characters, I think it really would be could have been a good show. So my thought is that maybe they're trying to like finish this season in a more like open-ended place so they can see what the audience reception is to episode 5. And then they can like maybe think about how they're going to, if they will do a season 2, who would do it and then what could become of it, because I think people see that there's a lot of potential. The acting is really good. The cast is really good. And
most of the cast. Yeah.
With the exception of, right. I mean, everyone but The Weeknd is really good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a difficult, I don't know. There was like too much going on in the last episode and it was just like so all over the place. And it just got to like, the problem that I have, even with Like, yeah, sure, there's glimmers of what's supposed to be good, but even like the stuff that is supposed to be good, they get to it in such like a quick, hasty manner that it doesn't make much sense. It just doesn't hit in the same way. Like, even her going to, we talked about this the last time, that she would suddenly fall for this guy. Okay, whatever. We're finding out maybe now that actually she was maybe using him a little bit, but then also is kind of distraught or feels betrayed when she finds out that the other girl, Diane,
yeah,
set, like, she was set up a bit. But then you also find out that she's sort of lying in her past. And then the way that they get to it is just like sort of very quick, and it's not like built up at all. And then like she just calls her ex-boyfriend, and then the weekend just suddenly breaks down. Like, he can't handle it. Like, as if he, you know, like somebody who does plays this game the way that he has, seemingly with so much confidence and power, and takes over her life, he just breaks down in like a millisecond. You know, like, that to me is, and then you see in the next episode, he's completely lost it. Like, the previews, like, that is just happening too quickly. And it's just like a joke.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It doesn't make any sense. It is a technically terrible show.
Yeah.
Like, it is, you know, it's like the people, it sucks.
They have really good musicians really see, as actors, though. Like, they're real, yeah, legit musicians.
The one that was singing about her heroin addiction was really great.
She's really good. They're all really good musicians.
It's such a sad thing because you do see how, like, all the pieces were there. If not for The Weeknd and Sam Levinson, everything else could have.
Yeah.
It feels like it could have worked. But okay, I'll tell you why I thought it was interesting. Because, so where, the whole setup is like, this guy's taking advantage of her. The Weeknd is taking advantage of her. He is, you know, she's in a weak spot. She is, and he's the one who is messed up and taking advantage of her.
Yeah.
But what I think, honestly, it sort of implies is that, like, she wanted to put herself in a vulnerable seeming position for some particular reason. And I think that she, like, let herself seem that she was being taken advantage of. And the question is, like, why did she do that? Because, you know, when she was like talking into her phone and she was like, I was, you know, she was, yeah, coming, she clean was about her abuse.
Pretty well. Like, it was good. It was like, she was so okay to do that. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. Like, it makes me think that her whole thing is like, oh, I should make it seem like this guy is taking advantage of me to achieve unclear, because we don't know yet.
Yeah, unchieve, unclear.
And also, maybe the writers don't know.
Yeah, have no clue. I think that they, yeah, I don't know. I remember in like the preview of the season before it started, it was like, who's gonna, like, is he playing her or is she playing him? And it was like, that to me sounded like an interesting take, but it's just so quick that it just is whatever. And then also, the boyfriend scene, I just couldn't get over how, like, long and no chemistry. They had no chemistry. It was just sort of meh.
I thought they seemed, like, more comfortable.
Sure, but the sex was, I was just, like, watching, and I was like, all right, like, how many more nipples?
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Interesting things I also want to talk about, and just like that, and the sex in that.
Yeah.
And has anyone stopped to think, just because we can show the sex, does that mean that we should show the sex? Like, I wonder. And then I'm like, okay, what, am I just a prude? Like, why do I not want to? But like, then I could just watch porn. But it's like, sometimes I feel that it just doesn't necessarily like
do anything. And then it got me thinking.
Sometimes it just feels like it's not necessary. Like,
no,
they're almost showing it for just because they can.
Shock or wanting to show it or feeling like sex positive. Everyone, like, but sometimes it feels like it's just being shoved down my throat.
Right. So I was trying to think, like, what's an example of a time when I thought that it was like that a sex scene is like a good sex scene? Like, I'm glad that it was in there.
A good sex scene.
Titanic.
Yeah, good. But that was like really PG. I think this is a good thing for people to tell us what sex scenes they thought that they were good. It's hard for me to think about them off the top of my head. But there are definitely, like, obviously movies have so much in them. But I think it's like, it's a, because a lot of the times when there's sex on a show, usually it's for women. And a lot of the times, like, you have – they have to create, like, the buildup of what about this is sexy. And usually for women, like, besides porn, like, actual porn, it's, like, the emotional buildup or the passion of it. And that adds to the sex of it all. But, like, what? This – there's no buildup, and therefore it just feels icky.
Well, I guess I guess normally it's like, okay, you want to show chemistry and attraction between characters. Okay, you don't need like 2 minutes of sex for that to be achieved in a 40-minute show, 45-minute
You know where
show.
There was a wild sex what? Scene?
Where?
It was in the movie Blue is the Warmest Color. They built up so much like sexual tension between the two of them. And it was also a scene between two women, and it was a very long scene. And so I think that was like part, it was part shocking, but it actually was sexy because it was like, you're just like, you wanted it to happen. Like you felt the tension. So like when you don't want something to happen and it's obviously, and they're telling you, you want this to happen. There's like a disconnect between like the audience and the actors. And when it doesn't make any sense,
right?
You're just like, all right, like, why the fuck do I, like, I didn't sign up for it.
right. You're like, I would have watched porn if I wanted. Right. I think, yes, I totally see your point. When it's like, okay, this is doing something for the story to make you feel a certain way about, that has to do with the writing. Because also I think there's a lot of sex scenes where it's not, I'm not even talking about like only like romantic sex scenes where it's like, sometimes you'll have characters having sex and like the talking around it or how it stops or how it starts is key to the point. And in this situation, like none of that feels really like the point.
In and just like that, I think that they added all this sex because sex is in the name of the original show.
Yeah.
So like they want to bring it back, and maybe because like Samantha's not in it, they're like sort of banging it on our heads. Do I need to see Che and fucking Miranda? Do I need to see Miranda like going down on Che? Like do I need to?
I mean, they're trying to say like, oh, we push the boundaries with
in every
sex.
Episode.
I mean, there's only been two. I just feel that they. I don't know. Did they always have as much like?
It's just like do you need it? It's like they are forcing us to like sort of say like, okay. Yes, this is sexy. But the problem for me is not really just like the scenes. it's just like the lack of chemistry they have, like they have in those scenes. Like it just feels so robotic and doesn't, I don't feel anything when I'm watching it. And therefore I'm just like, why?
I don't feel anything when I'm watching the show in general, to be honest with you. Oh, and no. Just like that. Like I feel this like almost nervous funny, energy beneath the surface lines. Of like, am I laughing because this is funny or am I laughing because I like hate it so much? Like I can't. Because
it's so bad.
Right. I can't. I mean, okay, this brings us to our next topic and just like that. I'm not really enjoying it that much. I mean, I'm not watching that closely because I'm not that interested, but it just feels like a bunch of almost like soap opera with better lighting scenes shot and cut together that don't even necessarily have characters who know each other that well.
The worst part of the show was Che's stand-up.
I didn't watch it.
Oh my God. Evan Ross Katz also posted like a clip of like the last, like, you know, the closeout joke. And it was about, why don't I read it to you just so everybody can really feel what I feel and what I think most people feel.
Make sure it's you like, do the delivery. You know?
Oh, I will. Don't you worry. Yeah. The best part is like the show is trying to make Che out to be this hilarious, hilarious comedian who has their own sitcom, right?
Che Pasa.
And it's just not that. It just isn't. In brackets, uproarious laughter. And then Che's like, ah, man, I am so lazy in LA. No one walks anymore, you know? It's like yesterday I took an Uber from my bathroom to my bedroom. And then in brackets, audience loses their minds with fits. Almost that is funnier than the joke. And then Che goes, yeah, it was way too expensive. More laughter. And that is my time.
Wait, I have to tell you, I saw that on Twitter like 100 times before I even watched the show. And so it didn't even like faze me when I actually watched it because I had already seen it be roundly mocked.
Uh-huh.
One thing I did think was funny were all the conversations about the podcasting. About how she didn't want to read the ad for the vagina stuff.
Oh, I loved that.
That was so funny. And then the producer comes in and she's like, this is not the podcasting heyday of 2021. And then like our other producer said that his kids or something, did he say? Like he said something about his wife, but like he wasn't even married.
There just wouldn't be this much talk about like an ad. Like, you know, you would sort of compromise on the okay, this was the best part. Because we obviously have experience in podcasting. When the guy, producer, comes over to her house and says he downloaded Final Cut Pro to write.
What?
Like, to me, that is the funniest. You can use Google Docs. Like, you don't need Final Cut to write an ad. And I lost my fucking mind when I saw that because that's how stupid it was. And like, okay, if Carrie as the host does not want to read it the way that it's written, what she said, I like that part. I was like, this just doesn't sound like me. Wouldn't be coming out. She like cares about herself and she cares about the ad. So that to me, I was like, oh great, what are they going to do with this? Oh my God, they absolutely obliterated it. And now she's like questioning herself, like going to dinner and being like, why am I so uncomfortable with talking about my vagina? It's just so, like, right. No, you wouldn't be, like, talking about this with, like, your therapist or friends. You would just sort of laugh about it. Be like, haha, guess what this, like, copy was, my ad. Like, that to me would have been just, like, way better than this, like, stupid fucking setup.
Yeah, no, it was, right. They took that way too far. Just it would have been funny if they just left that, like, one beginning scene.
Yeah.
Because that was good.
It was like the plot. Yeah, right. Like, never is it the plot.
Do people think that the plot of our lives is worrying about if we say vagina in an ad? Is that what people think the life of a podcaster is?
Exactly. Like that's what's funny is like the whole like everything about the podcast is just this is, you know, we hook up after the podcast. I mean,
it's like soap opera-y. Like,
yeah.
What?
I liked though the real like the realistic conversation of her saying like, what? I would never say something like this. And I was like, oh, we can talk about this on the show. And then they just like totally just he's coming over to help rewrite it. Like, oh my God. Like that would never like no.
Never.
You would
in New York City? The traffic?
No, like he would go and be like, oh, no problem. We go talk to our ad team and like we'll come up with some copy and like we'll run something by you. No big deal. And like, right. You, like the end.
Right. It's so funny. I wonder how Carrie's podcast does. Like, where do you think it? I wish there was one, like a fake companion podcast.
Ugh, I would love it. I would love it. They just need to. The show's not funny. Like, it's just not funny. It's not supposed to be funny. No. Even the comedian in the show is not funny, clearly.
No, it's just background noise. It's fine.
I like the closets.
Yeah. Charlotte and the real deal. Like, Lily sold all her clothes. Like, that was, that's kind of funny, I guess. Ish, clever.
I liked when Rock says, I won't be party to upholding the patriarchy and the heteronormative standards of beauty. And then Charlotte goes, I totally understand and applaud, but just for today. like to me, it was like kind of a funny conversation. I kind of am liking Charlotte the most out of everybody in the show.
Yeah, she's the most watchable.
Yeah. And I also really liked the background of the show where Charlotte, the actress, I forget her name.
Kristen Davis.
Yes, thank you very much. She's like vocal about the fact that it really upset her that all the people were like coming after her fillers and all this stuff. I don't know what she said around it. Maybe I don't like what she said after where she was like, people need to be more open.
Is that a conversation again?
Yeah.
That was a conversation last year.
She's brought it up again.
So we're going to do that again?
Yeah, because I think she looks like she has a little bit less fillers. It looks less extreme.
She does.
Yeah, it looks good.
I thought you were going to say that she'd said something about having, she had kids. She had her first kid, I think, in her 40s, and now she's in her 50s, and she had her second kid. And so she had made, like, a statement about how she was, like, happy that they had come at that time in her life. I don't know. I think it was on, like, E! News.
I don't remember that, but
it was, like, it was this week at some point.
Oh, man. This show. I mean, I want to keep watching, but I'm not excited to.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself. And that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
All right, let's talk about some real celebrities, not about a TV show that is scripted poorly.
Several TV shows that are scripted poorly.
Jennifer Lawrence was on Watch What Happens Live because she's a big Vanderpumper. Andy interviewed her. She looked fucking beautiful.
She did. Like, epic appearance overall.
Stunning. Stunning. She said, apparently Andy asked her about the rumor that she hooked up with Liam and cheated. And in the video, she says, not true, total rumor. But she did say that she and Liam did kiss one time, but it was years after they had broken up. He brings up the rumor because a lot of fans think Miley Cyrus was shading her in the Flowers music video.
Oh.
By wearing the gold dress, which is like reminiscent of Jennifer Lawrence's Hunger Game premiere look, whatever.
Can't wear a gold dress? Can't wear a gold dress anymore?
She says, Jennifer Lawrence says that I just assume it was like a coincidence. Here's the thing though. If you watch it in the clip, mm-hmm. she gets a little awkward and maybe because she's uncomfortable.
Because it is awkward.
Saying that like she did make out with him. But like I was reading all the comments and everyone's like, liar. Lying, not, didn't buy it, bad acting, like, it's not great. And I sort of felt that way too. It just didn't seem like she was, it sounded like she was sort of covering it up a little bit.
Maybe, but I would, my plan, I guess, if I were really to want to go look into that would be that I would then go like read a bunch of like threads and old blinds and rumors and all types of things.
And the timeline.
Like I would go explore the actual facts of this time rather than like base it on her reaction.
I agree. I didn't look at it and past this.
Right. Cause her reaction, like I see a million reasons why that could have been so mm-hmm. awkward. Like in your mind, you're probably thinking about a million things like that are, it's like a high pressure question.
I think maybe she might have been awkward because she did admit that she made out with him. Like maybe she's like, oh shit, should I not have said that? I don't know.
Right. Like she's going probably.
And then like, because she said it was years after they'd broken up, but the timeline doesn't like make that much sense. So I don't know. Maybe it was after the first time they'd broken up. I don't know.
Maybe we do like a timeline deep dive and maybe we can report back. Yeah, we can try to circle back. Did you also see in that interview that Jennifer Lawrence kissed Andy? And then she was like, she asked him if like, did it move? Meaning like his dick.
he said he was like bone hard.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, you know, Jennifer Lawrence is hot, you know?
She is hot. It was really, I couldn't tell if they like planned it and then they were like sort of setting it up for it to happen because she said like, oh, you kissed, who did she, he kissed John Mayer.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like a setup and he was like, I would kiss you. And she's like right now, like it was just sort of set up.
I don't know. That doesn't seem that set up to me, I mean, who knows? The whole thing could have been scripted.
I know, right? Finally, some good writing.
Speaking of Watch What Happens Live legends and Bravo fans, John Hamm is married. He is married at 52 to his former co-star, Anna Osceola, who was 35. They got married this past weekend. They got married in Big Sur, which is actually where they filmed the final scene of Mad Men, you know, where he's like sitting on that like hilltop meditating. And basically, she played the woman who greets him at that retreat. Mm-hmm. And now they're married.
So, but interestingly, he was with Jennifer Westfelt. Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah.
who is a pretty funny actress. She's in a lot of things. He was in a relationship with her 18 years. There was like their whole relationship was based on the fact that they were, you know, a partnership. They didn't need to get married. They didn't want to have children. That was the whole spiel, the public spiel. And then they broke up. And it was always about like how they just marriage wasn't for them. And then here he is. Well, the younger lady.
Well, maybe.
Getting married.
Yeah. I get older, but your lovers stay my age.
We could anyway. Probably sing that every episode we about really a do. New couple.
We should literally. Have that as a segment.
Oh
we
my God.
Make it a segment. The Taylor Swift, I'll get older, but your lovers stay lovers my stay age.
Yeah.
Man of the week.
Uh huh.
Sponsored by.
Coca-Cola.
Taylor's version. Coca-Cola. So it was a star-studded event. Paul Rudd, Larry David, Tina Fey, Brooke Shields.
Is this the wedding where, is this like where that that viral photo of Larry David DJing is coming from? Have you seen that?
No, but I'll assume yes.
Oh my God. Like, hold on. Let me show it to you.
Can someone confirm?
You don't follow any Curb accounts.
I follow all the Curb accounts. I don't know why that hasn't come up for me.
Here.
Instagram has been feeding me random stuff more than people I follow, like a lot. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think this was at...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so fucking funny.
It's like DJing,
how have
right?
I missed that?
It's so good.
Oh my
good.
Gosh. I've been distracted with things.
With things.
But it seems really, that seems like a really fun wedding. And I'm sorry to Jennifer Westbelt. I hope that was not a hurtful moment for her.
I mean, they broke up a really long time ago.
How long? I feel like they were.
A while.
Okay.
It's been a while since they broke up. But it was just like one of those things that like, okay, it's nice. You have a partnership. You know, you're not getting married. You're both like, you know, age appropriate for each other. And then
well, maybe he really didn't want to marry because he said he wasn't going to marry. And then when they broke up and to be with this new woman, Anna, maybe she was like, no, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to do this. So if you want to be with me, we're doing it.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right. That's well, what I mean, though. Like,
right.
You know, who knows? Maybe Jennifer is the one who didn't want to get married. And she's the one who didn't want to have kids. You know, we never know.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
But speaking of the Taylor Swift, I'll Get Older But Your Lovers Will Stay My Age segment, we actually have a Taylor Swift update. Okay, so she, Speak Now Taylor's version is coming out in about 10 days. And when she had her concert this past weekend, she played Dear John as one of her surprise songs. Mm-hmm. And she asked her fans to be nice to him online after the album comes out, because Speak Now is openly about him. There's the song Dear John. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot, so much of the album is so clearly about him at the time that they dated. And so she basically said, I was hoping to ask you that as we lead up to that album coming out, I would love for that kindness and that gentleness to extend onto our internet activities, right? So what I'm trying to say is I'm putting this album out because I want to own my own music, and I believe that any artist that has the desire to own their own music should be able to. That's why I'm putting out this album. I'm 33 years old. I don't care about anything that happened to me when I was 19. Okay. Except the songs I wrote for us to sing together. I'm not putting this album out so that you can go and should feel the need to defend me on the internet against someone you think I might have written a song about 14 billion years ago. I mean, it's like a little over the top, but also good. It's good that she said that, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, with like Selena and Haley, people say like, tell your fans to stop attacking. And I think it's good that she did that, because she probably knew that it was just going to be brutal, and it still will be.
It's so lovely, but it's kind of funny because she's talking about a song I wrote 14 billion years ago, but like, you're releasing the album now. Like, you're still doing it. You're still going to like make money off of it.
Right. And it's also not someone we think it was about. His name is in the title.
You know what's so funny? Because anytime I hear Dear John, I'm like, I think of the movie Dear John, and I'm like, wait, who's in that? And, you know, upon Googling, and I know it's Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried, but instead I picture my Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth, which is really the movie The Last Song. So I'm like so confused by the time that I have to come back to my original thought, where I'm like, wait, Dear John is a song about John Mayer by Taylor Swift. You're just like, what? And it's also hilarious that John Mayer is so relevant right now, because he's like everybody I know and their like friends and mother and whoever is at the Dead & Co show, which was like in New York this last week.
My mother, my husband, and my father-in-law.
Every adult, like not just like kids, you know, kids are age, you know, just 34, but kids are age. But like older adults, like Gen X.
That's when, that's who the Grateful Dead fans are.
I know, but it's funny because it's like, there's like the Eras tour, and like she's touring and she's about to go international, and then she's about to have this album, but he's also relevant.
I think his tour just ended though. I think that just finished.
That was the end. Yeah, like Andy Cohen was there, obviously besties. He's in love with him. Yeah.
No, I mean, John Mayer plays with like an original Grateful Dead member of the band who's like 80. He's literally just like, I'll get older but your lovers stay my age.
John Mayer, we don't know who's dating. We don't know who he's dating.
I feel like I could see him not being with anyone. He gives me the vibe like he's just like kind of happy on his own being like single for a while, at least at this point. Mm. Although who knows, he might want someone
no way.
I mean, single is not in a relationship.
Like, public not relationship.
Public relationship. I don't mean like they're not seeing anyone.
Yeah, he's definitely seeing people. You can't be John Mayer not seeing people. He's too cute. Do you think John Mayer's cute?
Well, technically he's my hall pass.
Oh, really?
Yeah. but I don't know if he's still my hall pass. Like, that kind of evolves for me. I don't know if it's him anymore.
A tall musician.
Can I be honest? Yeah.
Nice arms.
Who's funny.
Yeah.
And like a little unique. But he said some like kind of.
Yeah, he also has his shit.
But he's also a very good musician.
Yes, that's really, but yeah, that's
great guitarist.
So yeah, I guess you could say I think John Mayer is cute because.
So in conclusion.
Yeah. Are we stalking anyone interesting this week? Larry David?
No, I am not stalking him. No, but just to continue on the previous stalk conversation on Kyle Richards, updates too. That
yeah, let's do that.
So Kim Richards' daughter got married in Aspen and like the whole fam is there. Kyle was sitting next to Mauricio. Mm-hmm. That said, a lot was to be interpreted by the posting of all family members. Most important thing that was discovered was that it was also Mauricio's birthday. And all of the daughters posted for him. But Kyle did not.
Even at the wedding, Kyle posted a bunch of photos. You know how when people go to a wedding, usually they take a photo with their significant other?
Yeah.
Kyle posted a photo of herself standing alone.
Alone.
Mauricio was there.
Yep. And no happy birthday, Mo. You're the love of my life and father of my children.
Which is usually what she does. And Alexia took pictures with both her parents separately.
Separately in the same carousel. Two different pics, solo pics with the parent.
Kyle was sitting next to Mauricio at the ceremony. He was featured in her Instagram story. At one point, she like pans across her family sitting in the row and he was in that and he like holds up his drink and that's all you saw of him.
All right. Besides Kyle, though, are you stalking anyone else this week?
I am stalking a few people, but I'll tell you a funny story of a stalking situation. Okay. So I went to this dinner on last Thursday night hosted by this woman named Emily Tish Sussman, who I have like met, you know, through like Betches Up stuff. Mm-hmm. So she had a dinner for like her new season of her podcast. And it was like one of those, you know, assigned seats, long table, very beautiful tablescape situation.
Yeah.
There was, you know, so everyone's name is on their plate. And next to me is a woman with a plate table named Kelly. Uh-huh. And I'm like, whatever. Okay. So Emily tells me like, oh, like this is supposed to be for Kelly Bensimone and she's supposed to be sitting next to you. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh my God, like cool. And she's like, she confirmed 3 times today, but for some reason she has not shown up and I'm not sure why she's not coming. And so I'm like, okay, like that, you know, would have been interesting, but sure. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, that's so weird, like that she would confirm 3 times with you and then like not come. And so I go look at her Instagram stories and she's walking a red carpet for a like Britney Spears show, like Baby One More Time or something.
Oh my God.
And it's like, okay, so this was a double booking situation. It was just funny because it was like, okay, I was able to see where she was in the moment.
Right, right, you know, right. That when was really funny. She was there.
Yes.
That's really funny. And just so Kelly, and I'm very excited for Ultimate Girls Trip this season with the New York Housewives. They're really pushing New York, the new New York, and like the Bravo clips that they're even posting like on the Bravo page are not that great. And I'm concerned. But I guess we'll see. Oh, wait, I have a good it's not really a stalk, but it was I did a short deep dive.
Into
The Bear started on Hulu season 2. The Bear, so fucking good. Okay, first of all, the main guy, what's his name? Lip from Shameless.
Jeremy Allen White.
Thank you. Adorable. But the acting was amazing and they like kind of went in on like the characters, which I thought was actually pretty good. But there's a lot of celebrity cameos in this season. A lot. Really good ones. Jamie Lee Curtis. There's one flashback episode, which is highly chaotic, but Jamie Lee Curtis plays the mom and you must watch it.
Okay, I could watch that.
It's just like, it was just such a good episode, like kind of giving you like a window into like, you know, mental health and how it kind of affects, or some mental illness and how it affects like the family at large and like in different ways, like the different sibling dynamics. It was just like a really good episode. But anyway, the thing that I went in on was in one episode, he's one of the guys like stages with another chef. And the chef is played by the guy from We're the Millers, Meet the Millers. Do you know that movie? Like that guy who like has the freckles. His name is Will Poulter. But in this, he was just like British and highly attractive. And you're just like, wait, this is the same guy. Can you everybody Google Will Poulter, bear, the bear. Okay. Images. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then in a new tab, Will Poulter in We're the Millers.
Okay. We're the Millers.
Just like look at those two things next to each other.
How did that even happen?
Yeah. Like I know.
Like a reverse eyebrow lift? What happened? No, his eyebrows are still high.
They're still wild. But like what happened? He's also British. And like, no. Like I think he just kind of grew up and got like jacked-ish.
I mean, like, it doesn't even hair. Look like a different facial, looks like a different facial structure.
I know.
But you know what?
Okay, so I went and he's apparently a British guy. And
apparently.
And like, I'm just so excited for him.
Really
and his
hot.
Like appearance. He just like, what a glow up.
Good
so
for him.
That was great.
Will Poulter, tell us how you did it.
How did you do it? So highly recommend watching The Bear season 2. If anything, just for all the great cameos in this season. And I just like love all the restaurant shit. But
I love
good
that.
Show. Anyway, that's who I stalked.
I haven't watched The Bear yet, but I feel like I'm missing something that in that I haven't. So maybe I should work on that. Should add it to my list, as they say.
Yeah, it's an easy binge.
Okay, Aileen, who do you want to send to the Caymans this week?
Oh my gosh, this week? I'm trying to think. I don't think that we like really went in on anybody this episode, except, okay, maybe the people who created the episode of Black Mirror with Aaron Paul and Josh Hartnett, who like really, really fucked me up.
Okay. I'm down. I'm down to do that just because I'm trusting you that it
just
was really
trust
fucked
me.
Up.
I feel like now though, I'm like really putting it, I'm really upping everybody's expectations of how fucked up it is. And then you're going to like get to the end and you're like, that was it, Aileen. So like,
that's my view happens.
So I just want to lower everybody's expectations back to the floor where expectations should stay for everything and anything.
Right,
and
right.
You know, this is a topic that is, I feel sensitive about these things. So
I'll check it out.
I'll check it out. But anyway,
they're going to the Caymans.
I'm
okay,
sorry.
They're going to the Caymans.
Although maybe not because they brought Josh Hartnett back and I liked his comeback, but whatever.
We got to pick somebody.
Okay, we're going to pick them. We're going to pick them. Final answer. Okay, so who are we sending hypothetically first class to wherever they want to go? All expenses, hypothetical trip by Betches, hypothetically. Who are we sending from the reviews?
Okay, I really like this review from KAO905, who has titled it, I get what you're doing here.
thank you. Right. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. She goes, I love this podcast and look forward to it every Thursday. To Aileen's comments in the most recent episode, the podcast is great if you just take it for what it is. Three friends chatting about pop culture and entertainment. They don't need to have every fact right for it to be an enjoyable listening experience. Just don't quote us. Keep doing it, ladies. You make me laugh every week. P.S. As a Philly girl, you can say Philly. Thank you. We really appreciate when you answer our questions in the reviews. So this week, please let us know what sex scene you thought was worth it.
Yes, was good. Was just worth a long watch, you know?
Or just like not even, it doesn't have to be long. It was just like worth what it was like well-placed.
Yeah, like not like so romantic, but like a full sex scene.
It could be romantic.
No, I mean like usually when they do like romance, they just do the kissing or they do like just shots of like skin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than the
full
bang. Do you ever
see
bang.
Unfaithful with Diane Lane?
Yes, but it was a long time ago.
So that had a lot of sex in it, but it didn't feel like pointless. It felt like what was necessary to be portrayed for the storytelling. No more,
maybe.
No less.
I can't remember that. But Diane Keaton recently came up in conversation when I think I was telling maybe Jordana, she asked how camp drop-off was when I dropped Mila off, and I said that it was great, except I was a wreck, and I was driving in my car crying like Diane Keaton and Something's Gotta Give.
Honestly, Aileen, that's aspirational.
Oh my
to
God.
Be like Diane Keaton and Something's Gotta Give.
You know that really, really, really long scene of her crying? For like 20 yeah, that hours. Was me in the car. But I'm good. Today was good.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it's appropriate for this reviewer's review because I was previously talking about Diane Lane. You don't have to have every fact right for it to be an enjoyable listening experience, just like KAO said.
Yeah, and you can expect me to get any actor's name right ever.
That, again, that's not why they're listening. Thank you so much.
She gets what we're doing here.
Where does she want to go?
Okay, she didn't choose a place, but I think we could choose one for her. Recently, I've been jonesing to go to Greece, so you can go there.
Okay. I was going to say we could take her to Diane Keaton's Airbnb and in the Hamptons and cry together.
Or Diane Lane in Florence. In where did she go? In Italy, Tuscany.
Oh yeah, let's go under the Tuscan sun.
Oh, that's a different movie.
Totally different movie. That's Diane Lane,
right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Do we need to have like a Diane quiz?
Yes. Next time. Next time. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
All right. I think this is fun. That is it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
I'm at Sammy.
And give us a review. Give us 5 stars. Tell us which sex scene you liked or hated or whatever. But give it to us in the reviews. It's fun. I love talking to you guys. We love talking to you guys. And tell us why you like the show. And send it to a friend. And do all of the fun things. And we'll see you next week on the At Betches podcast. At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.